Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Money Member by Avram Gold. All right, and today Mazakas Baba Basra, Daf Pei, the fifth parak Hamokra Sasfina. This parak has been generously sponsored by Rabbi Yecheskel and Anat Hartman, Lazer Chendishma Sagon Rabbi Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, in order the publication of the Sefer Nechusa Yama, his Shiurim on this parak. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Halkeach Peros Shovach Mechaver, one who buys the produce of a dove coat from his friend, Mafriach Brecha Rishona, must allow the first pair of doves born to fly to remain with the mother. This seems contradictory from a Brisa teaching. The first and second pairs are left. And Rav Kahana explains that the second pair is left for the daughter, meaning the first pair of offspring. The first pair is left for the mother and is sufficient for it because it becomes attached to its daughter and its mate, which we leave for it. The mother's companionship is insufficient for the daughter because ima brata mitztafsa. A mother is attached to its daughter, brata imo mitztafsa. But a daughter does not become attached to its mother. Therefore, the daughter's own offspring, meaning the second pair, must be left for the daughter's companionship. The mission continued, Peros Kaveris, one who buys the produce of a beehive, noto gimel nechim mesaris, takes three swarms and cuts off. After the buyer takes the three swarms, the seller sterilizes the remaining bees by feeding them mustard so they'll only produce honey. Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah means the buyer takes three swarms, beserus, alternatively, meaning he takes the first, third, and fifth swarms. Point number two, Rav Kahana said, Dvash bekaveros inu yotzmi de machla olam. Honey in a beehive never loses its food status, although it's eaten by bees and it remains human food, and is therefore susceptible to tumah. This proves that he holds loboy machshava, honey in a beehive, does not require thought to designate it as food. This is a challenge from a bris which says about honey in a beehive, inu la'ochav la'mashka, it's neither a food nor a drink, and can neither contract nor transmit tumah. Abai answers that the bris refers to osin shtechalos, those two combs which are set aside specifically for the bee's sustenance, as taught by the Mishnah, and are not considered human food. Rava said this Tana is Rabbi Yezer who derives from a drasha that a beehive is considered like karka, and therefore not susceptible to tumah. Abai supports Rav Kahana's ruling. And point number three, the Mishnah concluded, Zeisim lakots meniach shtei grofios. If one bought olive trees to cut its wood, he leaves two branches uncut so the tree will regenerate. Abraisa details the amounts required for various types of trees, but says regarding dekalim v'arazim, date palms and cedars, that the buyer may dig under the ground and entirely uproot the trees, levisha en gizamachli, because their trunks do not regenerate anyway. The Gemara asks that this statement regarding cedars contradicts Rav Chiya bar Luyani's drasha on the pasuk. The righteous man will flourish like a date palm, he'll grow like an erez in Lebanon. A tzaddik is compared to both, because if he was only compared to an erez, one could think, my erez ainos a peres, just as an erez does not produce fruit, af tzaddik ainos a peres, so too a tzaddik does not produce fruit, meaning reward. Therefore, he's compared to a palm, which produces fruit. Had he only been compared to a palm, one could think, matamar engizo machlif, just as a palm does not regenerate, af tzaddik engizo machlif, so too a tzaddik does not regenerate, meaning leave a son behind who is like him. Therefore, he's compared to an erez, which does regenerate. The Gemara answers that there are 10 different types of arazim. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Halkeach peros shovach mechaver, one who buys the produce of a dovecote from his friend, mafriach brecha rishonim, must allow the first pair of doves born to fly to remain with the mother. This seems contradictory from a Braisa teaching that the first and second pairs are left. And Rav Kahana explains that the second pair is left for the daughter, meaning the first pair of offspring. The first pair is left for the mother and is sufficient for it because it becomes attached to its daughter and its mate, which we leave for it. The mother's companionship is insufficient for the daughter because ima brata mitztafsa. A mother is attached to its daughter, brata imo mitztafsa. But a daughter does not become attached to its mother. Therefore, the daughter's own offspring, meaning the second pair, must be left for the daughter's companionship. The mission continued, Peros Kaveris, one who buys the produce of a beehive, noto gimel nechim mesaris, takes three swarms and cuts off. After the buyer takes the three swarms, the seller sterilizes the remaining bees by feeding them mustard so they'll only produce honey. Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah means the buyer takes three swarms, beserus, alternatively, meaning he takes the first, third, and fifth swarms. Point number two, Rav Kahana said, Dvash bekaveros inu yotzmi de machla olam. Honey in a beehive never loses its food status, although it's eaten by bees and it remains human food, and is therefore susceptible to tumah. This proves that he holds loboy machshava, honey in a beehive, does not require thought to designate it as food. This is a challenge from a bris which says about honey in a beehive, inu la'ochav la'mashka, it's neither a food nor a drink, and can neither contract nor transmit tumah. Abaye answers that the brisa refers to osin shtei chalos, those two combs which are set aside specifically for the beast's sustenance, as taught by the Mishnah, and are not considered human food. Rava said this Tana is Rabbi Yezir who derives from a drasha that a beehive is considered like karka, and therefore not susceptible to tumah. A brisa supports Rav Kahana's ruling. And point number three, the Mishnah concluded, Zeisim lakots miniach shtei grofios. If one bought olive trees to cut its wood, he leaves two branches uncut so the tree will regenerate. A brisa details the amounts required for various types of trees, but says regarding declining v'arazim, date palms and cedars, that the buyer may dig under the ground and entirely uproot the trees, levisha en gizamachli, because their trunks do not regenerate anyway. The Gemara asks that this statement regarding cedars contradicts Rav Chiya bar Luyani's drasha on the pasuk, Tzadik ha-tabar yifrach ke'erz bavanon yiskeh. The righteous man will flourish like a day palm. He'll grow like an erez in Lebanon. A tzadik is compared to both, because if he was only compared to an erez, one could think, my erez einos aperez, just as an erez does not produce fruit. Af tzadik einos aperez, so too a tzadik does not produce fruit, meaning reward. Therefore, he's compared to a palm, which produces fruit. Had he only been compared to a palm, one could think, matamar engizo machlif, just as a palm does not regenerate, af tzadik engizo machlif, so too a tzadik does not regenerate, meaning leave a son behind who is like him. Therefore, he's compared to an erez, which does regenerate. The Gemara answers that there are 10 different types of arazim. All right, so now we got our siman daf pei, and our standard siman is a painter. So here goes. The painter who was hired to paint a dovecot whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which has the status of food regarding tumah, and shared some with a tzaddik who has great reward and a son who is like him, just like a tamar and an erez. Once again, slow motion. The painter, that must learn daf pay. The painter who was hired to paint a dovecot whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Halkech peros shovach mechaver, one who buys the produce of a dovecot from his friend, mafriach brecha rishon, must allow the first pair of doves born to fly to remain with the mother. Now this seems contradictory from a brisa teaching that the first and second pairs are left, and Rav Kahana explains that the second pair is left for the daughter, meaning the first pair of offspring. The first pair is left for the mother and is sufficient for it because it becomes attached to its daughter and its mate, which we leave for it. The mother's companionship isn't sufficient for the daughter because a mother is attached to its daughter, but a daughter does not become attached to its mother. Therefore, the daughter's own offspring, the second pair, must be left for the daughter's companionship. So the painter who was hired to paint a dovecot whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which has the status of food regarding tumah, which reminds us Rav Kahana said, Dvash bekaver is eno yotz mide machal olam. Honey in a beehive never loses its food status, although it's eaten by bees and remains human food and is therefore susceptible to tumah. This proves that he holds loboy machshava. Honey in a beehive does not require thought to designate it as food. So the painter was hired to paint a dovecot whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which is the status of food regarding tumah, and shared some with a tzaddik who has a great reward and a son who is like him, just like a tamar and an erez, which reminds Rav Chiya bar Luyani darshan on the pasuk tzaddik ha-tamar yifrach ke'erez bavanon yiskeh, the righteous man who flourishes like a day palm, he will grow like an erez in Lebanon. A tzaddik is compared to both, because if he's only compared to an erez, one could think, just as an erez does not produce fruit, so too a tzaddik does not produce fruit, meaning schar, reward. Therefore, he's compared to a palm, which produces fruit. Had he only been compared to a palm, one could think, just as a tamar does not regenerate, so too a tzaddik does not regenerate, meaning leave a son behind who is like him. Therefore, he's compared to an erez, which does regenerate. So once again, the painter who was hired to paint a dovecot whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which has the status of food regarding tumah, and shared some with a tzaddik who has great reward and a son who is like him, just like a tamar and an erez. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf ein vav. So the simmer daf ein vav is IV. Intravenous. So here goes. The patient hooked up to an IV. IV? That must be more on daf ein vav. The patient hooked up to an IV hallucinated that he was handing over letters in order to be kona them, which reminds us, a brisa is quoted which is eventually amended to read, Svina niknes b'meshicha, a ship is acquired with pulling, v'osios b'mesira, and letters, meaning a debt recorded in a shtar, are acquired with handing over, according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Nassin says, Svina b'meshicha, v'osios b'shtar, a ship is acquired with meshicha, and letters are acquired with a shtar, stating that the debt was transferred in addition to mesira, both are acquired. So the patient hooked up to an IV hallucinated that he was handing over letters in order to be Kona them while sitting on a ship in Rishus of Rabbi that someone was being Kona by having the boat's rope handed to him, which reminds us, Rebbe holds a ship is acquired with Masira in Rishus of Rabbi and Mashicha in a Simta. So the patient hooked up to an IV hallucinate that he was handing over letters in order to be Kona them while sitting on a ship in Rishus of Rabbi that someone was being Kona by having the boat's rope handed to him. As some rabbi stood nearby saying the kinyan won't work because the seller said, Lech, Meshuch, Ukni, which reminds us, the Rabbanan only disqualified Masira in Rishus of Rabbim, where the seller said, Lech, Meshuch, Ukni. They hold his instruction was a kapeda and an insistence to be done specifically with Mashicha, so Masira is not effective. The Rashbam explains that the seller wanted to reserve the ability to retract during the time needed to perform Mashicha. Daf Ein Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is an A's, a goat. So here goes. The brilliant goat herder, that must be one daf, Ein Zayin, A's, goat. The brilliant goat herder who came up with the svara that mile b'mile l'miknim when looking at his goat eat a shtar, made up of osios, which reminds us, a memor says the lacha falls Rebbe that osios are acquired with masira without a shtar. Toso says the opposite to Girsa. Although he said that this is known from Gemara, meaning tradition, Ravashi said svara namihu, it's also logic, the osios mile nino, because the osios, meaning the debt in the shtar, are mere intangible words. Umile b'mile l'miknim, and words cannot be acquired with mere words. Therefore, a shtar of sale cannot be necessary for acquiring a shtar chov. So the brilliant goat herder who came up with the svara that mile b'mile l'miknim when looking at his goat eat a shtar made up of osios and use a kinyan agav to transfer money to a friend that was kept in a faraway place, which reminds us, the Gemara demonstrates the ability of agav to acquire things along with a land acquisition more than an ordinary kinyan. The hamad be'ed lo niknim b'chalipin, because a coin which cannot be acquired with chalipin, the agav ara nikne, yet can be acquired along with land. This is seen from the incident in which Rav Papa had 12,000 dinarim of his with someone in Beit Hozai, and Rav Papa transferred the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, who was traveling there, agav esifa debeise, along with the threshold of his house, which Rav Shmuel rented from Rav Papa. So the brilliant goat herder who came up with the svara that mile b'mile lo miknim, when looking at his goat, eat a shtar made up of osios, and used a kinyan agav to transfer money to a friend that was kept in a faraway place, told someone who bought a goat leash from him for the exorbitant price of 200 zuz that a goat was not included in the sale since ena damim raya, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the malchokas of damim modin, if the price indicates what is included in the sale. The chamim hold ena damim raya, the price is not a proof. Daf Ein Ches, so the simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. When the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, ugh, that must be more on Daf Ein Ches. When the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale, which reminds us, the next mission states, HaMocher es HaChamor LoMacher Chelav, one who sells a donkey did not automatically sell its gear. Nachum Amani said he did sell its gear, and Rav Yehuda says that sometimes it's sold and sometimes not. If a donkey was before him with its gear on it and the buyer said, Mochor li chamor chazet, sell me this donkey of yours, the gear is sold. This donkey means as it is. If he said, chamor chahi, if it's your donkey, sell it to me, the gear is not sold with it. So when the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale and was not appeased by the fact that the donkey's baby was included, which reminds us, Gemara explains the difference between selling a nursing cow versus a nursing donkey. Regarding a cow, it's possible that the person needs it for its milk, so specifying a nursing cow does not necessarily indicate a request for the calf. But regarding a donkey whose milk is forbidden to consume, why would he specify a nursing donkey? This proves he meant to purchase its offspring as well. So when the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey brutally said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale, and was not appeased by the fact that the donkey's baby was included, his father told him he should make a cheshbon and nefesh weighing schar avera k'neged hefseda, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan darshaned a series of psukim beginning with Al ken yomru hamoshim. Regarding this, the poets would say Eil hamoshim b'yitzram. These are those who rule over their desires. Bo cheshbon, come to cheshbon means bo v'nachshuv cheshbon sha'olam. Come, let us make an accounting of this world. Hefsed mitzvah k'neged schar, weighing a mitzvah's loss, meaning its cost, against its gain, meaning its reward, and schar avera connected of Seda and a sin's gain against its loss. Daf Ein Test. So the Simmer Daf Ein Test writes to an 8, a pen, and we use a sofer. So here goes. The artistic sofer, that must be more on Daf Ayin Tess, 8, Pen, Sofer. The artistic Sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire, with a Maimer Chazal underneath, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, call it Porsche Medivrei Torah, whoever separates from the words of Torah, Eish Ochalto, fire consumes him. As the Pasuk says, V'nasati es panai behem, mehaish yatzau, mehaish tochlem, and I'll set my face against them from the fire they have departed, and the fire will consume them. So the artistic sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire, with a Maimer Chazal underneath, and posted a Molin Behen sign under some growths of a Hekdesh tree, which reminds us, Rav Yossi says, a Makdish is a Sadeh v'Se'ilon. If one is Makdish, a field or tree, Molin Behen u'b'Geduehen, one violates Mi'il for them and their subsequent growths, Mifnei Shehen Geduei Hekdesh, because their growths of Hekdesh, which Rav Yossi holds, is subject to Mi'ilah. So, the artistic sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire with a Maimer Chazal underneath, and posted a Molin Behen sign under some growths of a Hekdesh tree, was not over Me'ilah when he pulled a feather from a dove that flew into the Hekdesh dovecote to make a quill, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding contents of a pit or a dovecote, which were there before or after one was Makdish, the pit or dovecote. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we have machlokas if damim modin, the price indicates what's included in the sale, or in a damim raya, the price is not proof? That's on daf Ayin Zayin. Good. Number two, which daf do we discuss Rabbi Baruch Hanna's sighting of those who died in the Midbar and those who were swallowed with Korach? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that the Rabbanan only disqualify Masir and Rishus of Rabbim, where the seller said Lech Meshochu Kni? That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number four, which daf do we have machlokas about Me'ila in Gedulei Hekdesh? That's on daf Ayin Tes. Good. Number five, which daf do we discuss one who buys the produce of a dovecote and what he must leave behind for the mother? That's on daf Pei. Good. Number six, which daf do we discuss if a donkey sale includes its kelim? That's on daf Ayin Ches. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn that Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, called Porsh Medivrei Torah, whoever separates from the words of Torah, Eish Ochalto, fire consumes him? That's on daf Ayin Tes. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn why a tzaddik is compared to both a Tamar and an Erez? That's on daf Pei. Good. Number nine, which daf do we have machos whether a boat can be acquired by moving it a little, or it requires being moved completely from its original position? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. And number 10, which daf do you learn that honey in a beehive has the status of food regarding Tumah? That's on daf Pei. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.